nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But I like verse 11, it says, but such were some of you, but ye are washed. Amen? We're, as Christians, you understand, we all come from the same place. But the Bible says that we are washed, amen? And what the Bible says, we're born again. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2. God washed me, God cleansed me for a purpose, amen? Not just to save me from hell. I'm so glad, amen, I'm not going to hell. The reason I got saved was I feared going to hell. And that was a good reason, amen? That was a good reason. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, a few pages over, a few books over. And it says this in verse 1. And you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now work in the children of disobedience. And it says, among whom ye were, as ye had a conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So, I once was a child of the devil, according to the Bible. I was under the influence, the dominion of the prince of the power of the air. But God saved me for a purpose, not just from hell, but he gave me a whole new life in Christ. Amen. Now go down there to verse 7. It says this, that in the ages come we might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen? So I'm saved by grace through faith. Amen? It's a wonderful, simple plan of salvation. But I'm saved for a purpose. Amen? Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Notice that word. And that's the title of my message today. His workmanship. His workmanship in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So the purpose of my salvation is not just to save me from hell, not just give me a new life in Christ, but it's to work for him. Amen? To work for him in this Christian life. You know, we all have to work, don't we? Every day, just blame it on Adam and Eve. Adam's messed up in the garden. We all have to work. It's part of life. It's part of putting bread on the table, amen? We need for it for our survival. It is God's design after the curse upon Adam. You know, it takes a lot of work to raise a family, doesn't it? If you want to raise, you can raise any old family, but if you want to raise a godly family, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice. It takes a lot of work when you get a good job. It takes a lot of work to keep that job, doesn't it? You have to keep working to keep it, amen? So it takes a lot of maintenance. And all these things are good and needful, amen? But there's another type of work the Bible talks about. It's talking about working for him, amen? It's about working for him. And you know what? This life is so short. You can go by this life. And you understand, when you get older, this life is but a vapor. It appeared for a little while, and then it's gone. And then all you have is regret if you've never done anything for him. And that's what this month is about. It's about ministry month, amen? It's a different type of work, though, isn't it? It's a work that is, what the Bible says, is his workmanship, where we work for him, amen? And let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Go a few pages over to our right. Philippians, Colossians, and then Thessalonians and Timothy. And 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Wouldn't you agree it takes work to rightly divide that book? Amen? You have to get this mind, this idea that when you get into the Christian race, you have to work, amen? And it's not earning your salvation, it's pleasing him, amen? Because when I get judged, when God judges me, he judges me based on my works, amen? Not my sin. My sin is being paid for. Amen. Past, present, and future. It's paid for in full. Amen. Go to 1 Thessalonians. A few pages to the left. 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. And this, in verse 2 it says, we give thanks to God always for you, all making mention of you in our prayers. Remember, without ceasing, your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. It's the idea, it's not just any kind of work, it's a work that is a labor of love. Amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians, so go back a few pages, a few books, and Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 12. Ephesians 4, verse 12, it says, and this is dealing with the previous verse about the idea of apostles and pastors and prophets, and it says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. For this is edifying of the body of Christ. So we're here, we're in this thing called the church, and we're supposed to do something for him, amen? To do something for him. And then, let's go to Colossians 1:29. Colossians, so go back a few pages to the left. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians 1. In verse 29, and this is Paul speaking here, and he says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which working in me mightily. See here, Paul, Jesus is doing the work, but Paul is also striving, amen? And that's what it's like when you work for the Lord, and we're all called to work for the Lord, amen? Amen. It's not just supposed to be one person. It's not supposed to be a core group. It's supposed to be everybody here, amen, is doing something for him in this life. What is the ministry? The ministry is a labor of love, amen? It's not just like a job out there in the world. It's a labor of love. And every single one of us is called to that labor, amen, is called to that work. What is the ministry? It is a work that counts for all eternity. Hey, when you're dead and you're in your grave, you leave something after you, don't you? And it's that which the Lord wants to do in the local New Testament church. Its effect will not be realized until we get to heaven. Do you realize the work that we do here in this local New Testament church is a work that continues on after us. And we will not realize just by faithfully giving out gospel leaflets, by faithfully having different ministries, just what we can accomplish and what we won't fully realize until we get to heaven. Amen? It is the greatest work that man can concern himself upon this earth. Amen? Do you know why it's the greatest work that you can concern yourself with? Because you're working for the King. Amen? You're not working for Bible Baptist Church of Ballincollig, you're working for the King. Amen. Of King and Lord of Lords. Amen. That is what the ministry is. It is God's requirement. If you're saved, and I'm so glad I'm saved, but you know now that I know that I'm saved, I want to do something for him. I want to do something for him to show that one day I could say, God, I did something for you in this life. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, please help in the preaching. God, I need you. I need you to help me, God. It's all vain and empty unless you're in it. God, please help me, I pray. And I ask, God, that you'd stir us up. Oh, remind us, God, that you are the head of this church. And you're the one that we're accountable to one day. And we ask this in Jesus' lovely, precious name. Amen. Now, if we are to be Christ-like, we're to be involved in the ministry. Go to Matthew in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 20 in verse 28. See, some people say this. Some people say, I can be a good Christian, but I don't have to be involved in the local New Testament church. That is wrong. That is wrong. You've got to be a part of the local New Testament church, because this is Jesus' church. Matthew 20, in verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life for ransom. Amen. The blessings of the Christian life are when you get all the way involved. Amen. Yeah. When you get all the way involved, you don't just go in there and get your feet wet. You get yourself totally submerged. Amen. That's what the ministry is. If we are to obey this book, if we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only, we've got to get involved in the ministry. Amen. In the ministry. If we are to impact this world for Christ. Let's look at the idea of what it means to be a workmanship for Christ. What does it mean to be a workman for Christ? Well, God has laid the pattern, amen. The pattern is already laid there. The blueprint is in place. All we have to do is follow, amen. Follow the instructions. And the first thing I want to say about his workmanship, it is an established work. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 10, calls 12 disciples. He does it for a purpose. He does it because he wants to establish something that's called the local New Testament church. And God's instrument upon this earth is the local New Testament church. It was a work in progress well before we got there. In Matthew chapter 10, it says this, when he had called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits and cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and manner of diseases. And now the name of the 12 apostles are these. Do you understand? Jesus gave them power, but he gave the power for the purpose of establishing something. Amen. Establishing something. And it's called the local New Testament church. And we all need to be a part of it. Amen. It is called, in this age, called the church age, which we're part of, amen. It's only possible because of the death of the testator. Go to Hebrews chapter 9, all the way to the right. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 16. For where a testament is, there must be also the necessity of the death of the testator. See, Jesus gave his life, amen? And he did it for one purpose, to establish his instrument in this world. We gotta think of it as his church, amen? And also, go to Matthew chapter 16 now as well, please. Matthew chapter 16. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, in verse 17, and I know a certain church steals this verse, but it's for the local church, amen. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. It says in verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, Jesus set up the local New Testament church, and he said upon this rock, upon the truth of the statement on verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that truth, upon that statement, rest the local New Testament church, amen. God, it's God's instrument upon this earth. It's only possible because of what Jesus did for us. The church is God's instrument upon this earth. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 now. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, please. So Galatians and then Ephesians. And verse 22. This is speaking of Jesus here, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Amen? To the church. It's so incredible to realize that we're a part of a group. We're not just a church. We're the local church here, and we're part of a group that Jesus set up. Amen? Right. All the way back then, and it's still true today. Still true today. In order for us to get involved in the workmanship of the ministry, we gotta be involved in a faithfully involved in a church. Hey, a church is full of all different personalities. You look around here, you see lots of different personalities. You see lots of different cultures. Lots of different cultures. It's full of sinful people with different levels of growth. But we're a family. We're supposed to be a group that the Bible says our hearts will be knit together in love. Amen? And that's the thing that impacts this world. It is full of sinners saved by grace. Amen? We all come from the same miry clay that you come from the same miry clay that I came from. Amen? Maybe I was a little bit deeper, I don't know. But we all come from the same place, amen? We're all the same. But God puts us together in the local New Testament church so that we can impact this world for Christ, amen? We're called by him to work together regardless of differences. Hey, we're all different. In a family, do you ever realize each kid is different? Man, I look at my kids and they're so different. It's just the way it is. Families, you can't have the same rules applied to one as applied to all of them. They're all different. Same in a church. We're all different. And we're all supposed to have a love for each other where our hearts are knit together in love where we put up with differences. Amen? Where we put up with differences. So that we could affect this world for Christ. So the ministry could be carried on. Amen? The Bible is the church is referred to in the Bible as the local church so many times. It is God's instrument upon this world. It's God's instrument. It's God's foundation. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. See, the thing is, we don't lay our own foundation. Do you understand that? Jesus laid the foundation already. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3 in verse 10 it says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay which is Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ is the foundation, amen? According to verse 12, we can build upon that. And it says in verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, or stubble. See, we make the choice. Amen? We make the choice. And you know what it depends on? Motive. Intent of the heart. Because God looks deep within me. He looks deep within you. And he sees why we do things. Amen? Go to James chapter 1, please. All the way to the end, we have James. It's funny, this verse is in connection with be doers of the word, not hearers only, in verse 22. Because it says in verse 27, it says in James chapter 1, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Hey, nobody knows if you visit the fatherless and widows. They don't usually tell that you visited them. And no one knows if you keep yourself unspotted from the world. Amen. But he does, amen? He does. And that's where the foundation is laid, amen? It's about intent of the heart, amen? Intent of the heart. And it's God's calling. God has called each and every single one of you here. Now, God may have called pastors, may have called missionaries, but he calls everyone. Amen? The verse that God called me way back when I got saved was in Colossians 1:13. It says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness. Do you realize the darkness you were in before you got saved? Amen? Do you realize how dark that place was? Do you realize how deep that miry clay was? How how horrible the pit was you came from. But God moved you from there and moved you into His kingdom, amen? His kingdom, so that we could do something for Him in this life. So that we could do something for Him in this life. Called to be faithful, amen? 1 Timothy, just go to 1 Timothy very quickly. So after your Thessalonians, you've Timothy. I'm still learning my books. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11. And this is Paul here. He says, according to the glorious gospel of blessed God, which was committed unto my trust, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who had enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Man, God put us all into some kind of ministry, amen. He put every single one of us so that we could be used for Him. Do you remember when you first got saved? And you remember the love you had in your heart? And you wanted to just take on this world? We need to get back to that place, amen. And we need to see the local New Testament church as a place where we grow and where we just blossom in our Christian life. You cannot do it apart from the local church, amen. The body becomes efficient when everyone's on board.
Amen. Right.
The local New Testament church becomes efficient when everybody is on board. We're not talking about a small group pulling the wagon. We're talking about everybody pulling the wagon, amen? Every single person. Every single person. The body functions effectively when everyone does their part. Hey, if everybody... You know, if you're cleaning up the kitchen and there's one person working away, and say, Mommy's working away cleaning up the kitchen. The kids are sitting there watching DVDs and stuff. Nobody's doing nothing. It's hard on Mommy, isn't it? The same way when the kids get involved, when Daddy gets involved, when everybody gets involved, you just clean up that kitchen in no time. Amen? Same way in the church, amen? Same way in the church, when everybody gets the pull, and everybody gets the blessing, amen? Everybody gets the blessing. The local body needs every member involved. Let me illustrate it by this. Let me illustrate it. Sorry, you just volunteered yourself, Embryo. Come up here. Embryo, I want you to do this. Come up here. Sorry, Embryo. I want you to just do this. This was an illustration showed to me years ago, and it helped me. Embryo, I want you to take this chair. I want you to put it over here. Simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, you see, his hands are in motion. His eyes coordination. Man, his legs. Now, come over here. Back over here again. Now, what happens is, Embryo has a fight with his body. The members of Embryo's body, they have a fight with each other. And his hands might work, but the end result is... Up your foot now, okay? Up your foot. Okay. The end result... Up your foot. No, keep it up. The result is his foot doesn't want to cooperate. Now I want you to move the chair over there.
With my single foot.
Yep.
That's hard.
Okay, it's a little bit awkward, isn't it?
Very awkward.
Okay. Well done, brother. Thank you. The simple idea is this. I know we laugh at it, but the body needs to be all together, amen? The body needs to be completely together, where every area, my hands, my feet, everything is involved in moving that chair. Even though at first, Embryo, it was easy to move that chair, wasn't it? The second time around, when your foot was in the air, it was difficult to move that chair. The same way with the body, amen? The same way with the body. We might laugh at this, but it is so true. True. Every member needs to be involved. Hey, God put you in this church, amen? For a reason. And let me say secondly, it is a planted work. It is an established work, and it is a planted work. It is planted by Him, amen? Way back, He planted His church, and now you have local New Testament churches throughout this world planted by Him, amen? And we are the members, and we need to get involved. We need to get involved. So that the body is effective, amen? So the body is equipped. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 11. Ephesians 4 verse 11. For he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give them? According to verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So that we could be effective in this world, amen? Not so that we could just have a good time, amen? That's not what Christianity is supposed to be about.
Right.
We're supposed to be doing something for him, amen?
Exactly.
Doing something for him. So that it is edified in itself. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 now, verse 16. 15 and speaking. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, into all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, that which every joint supplied according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What a verse of scripture, amen. Just realize the idea is that we are supposed to be together, everyone doing something so that we would be edified in love. Amen. So that we could impact this world for Christ. Impact this world for Christ. For the purpose of carrying out the ministry. Amen. Hey, we have been purchased by his blood. Amen. It was a high, high price. Go to the book of Acts chapter 20, please. Over to our left, book of Acts. And Paul here is speaking to a bunch of pastors and he says, take heed. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. He says, take heed therefore. Acts 20 verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, and feed the church of God which he had purchased with his own blood. Amen.
Amen.
He spilled his blood for you and for me. And he suffered the most horrific death for you and for me. What a great love story, amen. How can you beat that love story where Jesus did it for you and for me?
Right.
It's such a wonderful thing just to be a child of his, amen. He purchased. It's true in the Old Testament. It talks about in the Old Testament, but Israel was severed that there would be his, amen. And it talks about in the New Testament that we're bought with a price. Go to 1 Corinthians now. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want you to see a little phrase in here that is so important. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Do you hear that? You are not your own. Man, that needs to be emphasized. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Amen. Jesus purchased me with his precious blood so I could do something for him. Amen. Hey, my old life, all I did was work and work. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, all I was doing was producing the work of the flesh. That's all I could do. 18 works of the flesh. That's all I could do. That's all I could produce. Because I was under the devil's dominion. But now I'm free, amen. I'm free not to do what I want to do. I'm free as long as I follow him, amen. Otherwise I'll end up back in slavery. Purchased, man. He purchased me. And then after he purchased me, and this is just so clear to me. After he purchased me, he set me in a local body. Amen. Do you understand that? I believe today we know so little about the local New Testament church. The importance of being put in the body. Amen. And if Jesus put you in the body, you need to stay there. Amen. You need to stay there. Come what may.
Amen.
You need to stay there. It's not easy being a Christian, is it?
No,
it's not. But man, it's for him.
Amen.
The Bible says in Hebrews 12 verse 3, it says, for consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners, lest they be wearied in your minds. And it's easy to get tired, isn't it? It's easy to just want to give up. But man, it's for him, amen? It's for him. It's for nobody else. Nobody else. He sets us in the local church. Do you realize Jesus was set in a sure place for you? Go to Isaiah chapter 22. Jesus was set in a sure place for you. This is a prophecy here. You can only look at this thing as a prophecy. As I study this thing, man, it's just, there's something clever about this. See, notice what it says in Isaiah 22 and verse 22. This is a messianic promise here. It says, "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut. And he shall shut and none shall open. And I will fasten him in it as a nail in a sure place." You know what I believe? I believe that's the cross. Amen. He was fastened there for you and for me. "And he shall be as a glorious throne to his father." If he was fastened in a sure place for you, shouldn't we not be fastened in a sure place for him? Amen. Shouldn't we have a place where we say, "This is my sure place. God put me here. God wants me to grow. I need to get involved. And I need to start working." Amen. Where God could use me in the local New Testament church. You know, the biggest problem with the ministry is just the idea of people committing, of just commitment. Just people getting involved and saying, I'm doing this for him. I'm getting involved in this ministry for him. And there's commitment there. Usually in Christianity, there's fickleness. There's unfaithfulness. People, you know, in a Bible study, just having a Bible study, it's like, man, who's going to turn up tonight? You know, I mean, well, maybe some people might turn up. And but what I find is some people go to one Bible study one week, another Bible some other week. And you know, you can't grow with that kind of atmosphere. You cannot grow. You've got to have faithfulness, amen. Each week, faithfulness. Very few Christians understand the importance of the local church. If we really understood the importance of the local New Testament church, we would make it priority. We would be here Sunday morning. And we'd be here Sunday night. And we would be here no matter what, we'd be here Wednesday. We would make some commitment, amen? Amen. There would be just a desire to be here. Hey, wouldn't it be wonderful if just coming in those doors was like a taste of heaven? Wouldn't it be nice if just getting here was the highlight of your week? It can be. When you make him Lord of your life, he gives you that peace and joy inside where, man, church becomes a place, becomes a taste of heaven. It just becomes a taste of heaven. If we really understood the importance of what church is. This is not a Sunday get together. This is not somewhere we go on a Sunday. We spend some time with the kids. The kids are involved in Sunday school and all that, and then we leave. That's not church. Church is where you get committed, amen. Where you get involved. And every single one is a part of the member. God brought you here, and it wasn't by accident. He brought you here for a purpose. And if you want to fulfill that purpose, you need to get involved. Amen? Amen. It is what the local church is all about. Reaching the lost. See, God has a bigger purpose than just your life. God wants to reach out and use this church to reach out to the world. Amen? Right. A world that's lost and dying in their sin. Had no hope. You knock on people's doors and you just see the desperate situation of their hearts. Right. Just the blindness. They cannot see. Amen. And let me say, thirdly, it is a blessed work, amen? You know, the ministry is such a blessed work because it's blessed by him, amen? In every ministry. And we have a lot of ministries in this church, amen? No ministry is less important either. Go to 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 again. First Corinthians 12. And talks about the body. And we saw the illustration earlier on of embryo. Making a fool of himself, one can. But it talks about the body. It talks about just how the body needs to be effective. Amen. And it says in verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 12. "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble and necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, upon these we bestow more abundant honour, and our uncomely parts have more comeliness. And it goes on, it talks about the idea about the body in verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to the parts which lacked. Amen? Every ministry, every part of the ministry, every part of the body is blessed of the Lord. Amen? No ministry is less important. Hey, if you're involved in the Sunday school, do you realize you're training the next generation? What could be more important than that? Amen? What could be more important with that? If you're involved in the welcoming ministry, hey, you're welcoming people who are looking for a place, a refuge. They're looking for a place where they want to know something is real, where there's real Christianity in this world. If you're involved in the Crest ministry, you are allowing the parents to hear the preaching going on while our kids are being taken care of, where there's no distractions. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad for the Crest ministry. These are all ministries within the church. Amen. If you're involved with the music ministry, you know what's happening? The music is played up here, tiny little hands, and you know what's happening? Your heart is being tuned for the preaching.
Amen.
You know, John doesn't get up there and just play the guitar. He has to tune the thing, doesn't he? He tunes it and he listens. He does that so he can play in harmony and so you can get a blessing. Amen. And that's what the music ministry is. It's so that we could be, our hearts would be soft for the preaching. And it's an important ministry, amen. If you're involved in teaching ministry, if you're involved in soul winning, man, soul winning, what you're doing is you're bringing a message. You're bringing their only hope of salvation to their door. And they probably don't want to hear it, but you're telling them anyway, amen, because you love them. And they might be not nice to you, but you're telling them anyway, because you love them. And it's a love that comes from Calvary, amen? But those blessings are conditional, amen? His desire is to bless his people. Hey, my desire as a daddy is to bless my kids, amen? I want to bless my kids, but I can't always bless my kids, because my kids have to be faithful, amen? And that's the way God looks at me. I have to be faithful so God can bless me. Those blessings are conditional. His desire is to bless his people. Aren't those blessings worth it though? I mean, we think about it. All you got from before you were saved, all you got was the wrath of God upon you. All you got was just the mess up of the old nature of this life. But wouldn't it be worth just being faithful, just living a clean life so that he could bless you, amen? Go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 34. This is just a blessed scripture. Ezekiel. Part of the... After Jeremiah, and then you have Ezekiel. Ezekiel Ezekiel 34, verse 26. And it says, I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. Amen. Amen. And that's what God wants. God wants to bless us, amen. But he cannot at times, because we hold on to things. And if we are a church to have power with God, we have to be willing to let go of those things, amen. So that our lives could shine in this world. So we could be an example to this world. Hey, it's not easy to live a clean life. I mean, you try to keep away from things in this world. You try to keep away from even being a friend of this world. And it's not easy. Titus 2:12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Because one day he's coming back, amen? One day he's coming back. I believe it's very, very soon. So that the church could have power in this, in our lives. So that there could be power. We could get together in a prayer meeting on a Wednesday night, and there would be power in that prayer meeting, amen? It wouldn't be just an empty exercise. Right. It would be something where we would know God was coming down to us. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice to have that kind of power? You can have that power in your prayer life. Yeah. Just by having a clean life. Because God hears the prayers of just a clean walk with the Lord. Amen. And so that we, when we gather together as a church, we'd have power. Amen. Power just to see people saved. Amen. Power just to see ministries blossom. To see lives changed. See more people come in those doors. To move into a bigger building. And not for man. Not for the eyes of man. Do you understand that? But for him. For him. Because we're his workmanship. Amen. We're his workmanship. So that our homes could be blessed. Amen. So that our homes could be hedged about. You know, wouldn't it be nice if I know there's different security locks and different security alarms. But you know, if you have the blood of Jesus Christ upon your life, you have more security than anything in this world could offer. Amen?
Amen.
So that we could grow together as a church. And then let me say, finally, we're his workmanship, and it's like no other work. Go to John chapter 4, please. John chapter 4. John 4 and verse 27. And Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman. And he's dealing with her over the whole chapter. But in verse 27 it says that upon this came the disciples. So the disciples come back after Jesus has dealt with this Samaritan woman. And they marveled, he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest with her? The woman then left the water pot and went her way into a city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then just jump down a few verses to verse 32. But he said unto them, verse 31. In the meantime, while the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. So the disciples come to him and say, Master, you haven't eaten. Maybe you need to eat. And Jesus says in verse 32, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that he know not of. Amen. And then it says in verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. See, Jesus got so involved in the ministry, got so involved in the work that it was a spiritual food to him. Amen. It became a spiritual food to him. And we need that spiritual food. Amen. We need that where we're involved in the ministry and we see God blessing that ministry. Amen. We see, you know, it is a joy. It is an absolute joy to prepare for a Wednesday night. To prepare a Bible study. Even for 4, 5, 6 people in a Bible study, it's an absolute blessing to actually prepare that thing. It's almost like this. It's almost like I step out of the room and I'm not even in control of that thing. God just comes into that room and he just takes over. And I find myself, man, I didn't realize I knew that in the Bible. I didn't realize I knew this. And God begins to show me that he is the one who's in charge. Amen. Wow, what a privilege it is just to yield yourself unto the Lord and go, Lord, you take over. He has promised, amen. He has promised. It's not like normal work. It is a passion, amen. The ministry is a passion. It becomes a passion when you get involved with it because you see things as Jesus sees them, amen. God gives you a burden that Jesus had, in a sense. It is a passion. Go to Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3 says, Acts chapter 1 verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. Hey, Jesus had a passion. Do you have a passion? Do we really have a passion? Or are we just dragging ourselves to church? Is it a chore to come to church? It shouldn't be. It should be a taste of heaven. Amen. It should be something so special when we get together on a Sunday and we see our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. It is a passion. We should have a fervency in my heart. It should be a fervency. It should be a desire that is real. Amen. And can be seen. It is required of every brother and sister that our hearts will be knit together in love. And it is an addiction. Go to 1 Corinthians. The ministry becomes an addiction, but it's a good addiction, amen? It's a good addiction. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. First Corinthians 16 and verse 15, and it says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the houses of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Amen. Oh, that if we could have that kind of desire, that habitual nature of just being addicted to the ministry, amen. Where it would become, where church would become so special. Because Jesus is here. Amen. Because Jesus is here. Not because of a man. Amen. It is an addiction. Where we walk, where our walk becomes just for him. Amen. Where it becomes a taste of heaven. And then there becomes an excitement and anticipation when the preaching starts. What's God going to do? Amen. It is laboring with him though. You got to understand this. It is laboring with him. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Just over in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. And this is a familiar scriptures, but I really wonder if we really understand these scriptures. Matthew 11 verse 28. Come unto me, all ye laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? The best illustration I can think of is this. Did you ever, maybe you're in the house and you're moving a bit of furniture, right? And you're moving a bit of furniture and maybe your little kid comes along and tries to help you. And then they're not helping. They're not helping at all. They're a nuisance. They're actually putting more weight on the thing. They're making it harder for you to move the thing. But you know what? That's what we're like. All we're doing is Jesus is doing the work, and we're doing is trying to help him. And the more you realize that it's not you, it's him. It's him in you. It's Christ in you that makes a difference. Because he's doing all the work. He's doing all the work. You just have to follow along, amen? That's the best illustration I could think of. And it says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My burden is light. And back in those old days, it was about a yoke was a harness. And there would be two oxes and they would plow a field. And in the Christian life, what we have, we're plowing that field, we're doing something for him, but Jesus is right beside us, amen? Jesus is right beside us. He's doing all the work. We're just there for the ride. Amen? That's supposed to be the Christian life. We're supposed to cast all our cares upon him, amen? All our burdens need to be upon him, amen? Because he's the one that's doing the laboring, amen? And then it offers great rewards. Man, what a work. What a work the ministry is, because Jesus has promised that he will reward us, amen. He will reward us. It talks about treasure in heaven, amen. Treasure in heaven. That one day Jesus will reward everything done for him, amen. It talks about giving a cup of cold water in his name. And he says he will in no wise lose his reward, amen. Just a cup of cold water, amen. Just doing something for him. It may not seem important in the eyes of people around you, but you're doing it just for Him, amen? And it becomes part of the ministry. What a treasure, amen? Could you imagine making it an investment and you were guaranteed a hundredfold return? I mean, just think about it for a second. That's what heaven is. That's what heaven is. It's a guaranteed return. Amen? Guaranteed return. It is, you know, this life is but a vapor. And one day, we won't be able to do anything for Him. The rapture will happen, just like the Bible says, and we'll be out of here. Amen? We'll be out of here. And we have to, in this day and age, make a decision to do something for Him. Because it's going to be too late one day. Amen? And let me say this in conclusion. If God's brought you to this church, and this is Bible Baptist Church of Ballincollig, maybe you need to make it your church. Amen? Amen? And you know what that means? That means getting involved. Getting all the way involved. Because this is not just a church set up by Pastor Craig Lebeter. This is the church that Jesus set up. Amen? Maybe God is trying to speak to your heart. And maybe He's trying to get you involved in a different ministry. Hey, you're a part of the body. You're supposed to get in there. Amen? And God can use you. God can show you. You see, the church is not just here by accident. It's the Lord's church. Amen? I hope you see that. And we are His workmanship. We're the instrument that God uses in this world. We're supposed to impact this world for Christ. Amen? And let me give you a challenge. What are we doing for Him? What are we doing for Him? Is there anything we're doing just for Him? And why would you not commit yourself to His body? Just think about that for a second. Why would you not commit yourself to His body? If He did so much for you, if He shed His blood on the cross for you, if He died, if He was nailed there in a sure place, shouldn't we be doing something for Him? Amen? Amen. Shouldn't we be just doing something for Him? Amen? Being involved somewhere in the ministry. Out of all the different ministries. And there's plenty room for people to... Plenty of vacancies there as well. It's for Him, amen? It's for Him. It's for Him. It's just doing something for Him in this life. Because one day it's all going to be finished. And we're going to be on the other side. It's going to be wonderful to be in heaven, amen? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But I won't be able to do anything for Him then. The time to start working for Him is right now. Amen? Make a decision today just to do something for Him. To walk with Him, to work with Him. And maybe you're here and maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. There's never come a day when you've ever repented of your sin. You've no idea what it means to be born again. Hey, this is a place where you're going to find out. Amen? And maybe even this is your first day coming here. Come back. Learn more. It's from the Bible. Amen? It's from the Bible. You learn from the Bible. You learn Scripture from the Bible so that you can understand you need Him more and more. It was the 2nd of October, 1992, that I trusted Christ as my Savior. Amen. I'm so glad for that day. That is the day that I stepped from the things of this world. That the verse, Colossians 1:13, God, I was delivered from the power of darkness and translated in the kingdom of His dear Son. And man, there needs to be a day in your life where you repent of your sin. You've offended God. You've broken God's laws. And you need to understand that the wages of sin is debt. And it's not talking about a spiritual debt. It's talking about a debt in the lake of fire, in hell. And that's just... But God provided the way of salvation. He provided, he died on the cross for you. For God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. If you were the only person upon this planet, He would have done it for you. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. Today is the day of salvation. You've got to make a decision. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It says in Revelation 22, verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that hear it say, Come. And let him that has a thirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." God is giving you a free opportunity, a free gift of salvation to anyone who wants to receive it. You can walk away. You have free will. But you know what? Maybe the devil wants you to walk away. Maybe the devil wants you. God only wants to draw you to himself. You know, I trusted him in the 2nd of October 1992, and he's never done me wrong.
That's right.
Never let me down one time. I have let him down many a time, but he has been faithful to me all those years. Amen. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Please bow and maybe bow your head and close your eyes. Lord, Father, I ask you to help. Help us, God. Stir us up. Make us just put that fire back in us. Revive us, God. And I pray if there's anyone here, God, just wants to make a commitment to you this day in the quietness of this time. God, they would just speak to you, not to man, but to you. In the quietness of their seat, make a decision for him today. He has worked everything. Make a decision for him to get involved. Make this your church. Work for him. Aren't you sick of working for the devil? Lord, I thank you so much for this day. And I pray if there's anyone here not saved, oh God, I pray you would help them. Get a hold of them. Help them to understand that they need Christ desperately. And we ask this, and we pray if anyone here, God, oh God, just draw them to yourself. And we ask this in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake, amen.